Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel by simply searching Talk Over podcast on either Spotify or Apple Music.
Yeah, I'm recording.
All right. What a bomba.
Da-na-na-na.
Da-na-na-na. Stylo and Double. Stylo now, yeah. I can get my own name right.
Quarantine radio.
Probably the best thing to happen
Has Tory Lanez not become the best online personality since this situation started?
Bro, I think Tory Lanez is the biggest winner of this whole situation right now, and my guy has flipped it fully.
Yeah.
It's actually mad, you know. He's had flipping... Someone posted the other day, he's got, like, Ciroc and some of the big brands are trying to sponsor the club quarantine.
It does not surprise me at all, bruv. But
it's
like,
crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
The numbers are mad, G.
He's doing it, man. He's doing it. Very entertaining guy. Very
quarantine. To be fair, I think Insta Live is like the biggest winner right now with all them sound clashes are going on. Flipping, I think T-Pain and Lil Jon were having a battle on Saturday night. Oh shit!
What?
The Babyface and Teddy Riley one was last night.
Did you watch it or no?
No, I missed it, man. I just remembered that second because it was on at like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I was fast asleep by then, bro. My sleeping patterns are a myth.
Yeah,
an absolute myth right now.
It's weird, bruv. I went to bed at midnight last night, and like, that doesn't really happen. Actually,
you went to bed at midnight last night. Yeah,
you know what? Actually, Sundays, to be fair, a lot of Sundays I am kind of in bed around about that time because usually Monday morning I'm up to take Roman to football. Sunday nights actually are the exception in the week, but there are other nights this week I've been in bed. Yeah, like 11 or midnight, like normal people times, bruv. It's weird.
Bro, I've been up and down, innit? Like, some nights I'll sit up to like 3-4 o'clock and I'll be watching like Airport Peru and like fucking excuse me. I'll be watching the most random programs. Then other nights I'm in bed at 11-12 watching like Netflix and that. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a bit of a random one, but yeah, what's good anyway, bro? What's popping?
Right. Surviving quarantine.
every time we catch up now, we've not got much to share, innit?
Well, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, bruv. I haven't left the house. I literally haven't left the furthest. The furthest away from my house I've been is to the end of the drive to put rubbish in the bin, and that's it.
Flipping heck.
And I don't have a very big drive. I can fit probably like four.
You got
cars.
A garden though, right?
Oh, actually, yeah. So the furthest I've been is down the bottom of the garden playing football. And that's it.
Down at the bottom of the garden, like our Poddington Pea.
Yeah, exactly.
Mad. So you get to exercise in the garden. Is it big enough to like do your exercise in the garden though?
Oh yeah, if I wanted to, but fuck that.
Okay. Fuck that. So you're not are you doing daily exercise?
Nah, not really. I do
nah,
so
bro, I'm not
obviously
even,
like
man.
on a weekly basis, I think I mentioned this in the last episode. Like I take Roman boxing on a normal, when the world is normal, Roman boxes, right? So he goes to my boxing club and he trains with the juniors. So what I have been doing is I've been doing a lot of training with him.
Okay.
But to be in all honesty, it works him out more than it works me. It's just for me, it's just pad work. And for him, it's a proper boxing training session. But I've got to say, bruv, my son is getting wicked with a left hook.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's getting sharp,
start
man.
Boxing
he's,
dudes in the mouth soon.
He's getting sharp, so it's...
Oh, my days.
His coach, he's gone from training 2 times a week to like 4 or 5 times a week now, and his coach is going to be very pleased when he comes back.
That's dope. That's good shit, man.
Yeah, also...
I feel like I'm going to be super fat, mate. I'm going to get fat, right... My belly's getting a bit peak already.
Ah, the DJ belly's coming like, back.
The DJ belly's back, mate, without DJing.
Yeah.
To be fair, like, I'm not... I feel like I just want to eat all the time.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm
getting food cravings just all the time.
You know
bro.
What
like,
it is?
I can't shake it off.
I think it's boredom, bruv. And, like, I've been spending... Yeah, because, like, I've been spending a lot of time in the kitchen, obviously. Leanne's working from home, so when it comes to, like, feeding Roman and stuff, I'm basically one of the main chefs in the house now. And so I'm spending a lot of time...
Chef Double, yeah, come on.
You don't want to eat my cooking, bruv, trust me.
I've seen your cooking, it looks a bit dodge, fam.
Yeah, it's not great. It's getting better, you know. Practice makes perfect and that, but I need a lot more practice. But yeah, just spending time in the kitchen and being bored, like not bored, but do you know what I mean? Like just having,
there's nothing to do in it, so you just, I'll just check the fridge.
But it's like I've got stuff where I've obviously got to keep little man entertained, and like it's half term, so I'm giving him a bit of a break from the homeschooling now. He's got 2 weeks where I'm not really pressing him. So I've got a bit of time to do stuff, but not really loads of time to get into anything. Like I can't just lock myself away and work for hours and hours and hours because
I hear that.
There's other stuff to do. Do you know what I mean? And it's like with three of us.
Under pressure, man.
Well, three of us constantly in the house as well. Three people in the house all the time makes a mess. So I'm constantly cleaning as well. Right? It's like he's usually at school. Leanne's usually at work. So it's just my own mess that gets clicked. Like, yeah, it's all a bit mad, bro. Like life. Life is different, and it became this way literally like overnight. It just happened overnight, bruv. And
I've got used to it now, you know. I have got used to it. Like I have little moments where I'm just like, I just get wounded and start just, what am I gonna do? What's going on? Like
I'll tell you.
And then other days I wake up and I'm good and I'm happy and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna make this work. And then within 3 or 4 hours I'm like, oh, this is dead.
I'll tell you what, bruv. You know what? Like, it's kind of, I'm a bit of a mixture. I'm getting fidgety because I'm like, I really want to get back to work. I want to be in the clubs. I'm hearing, there's still music coming out. So I'm hearing tunes that I'm like, I really want to test this in a club and see how it does. You know what I mean? I'm still getting
club
that feeling.
Club bangers are dropping. They're not going to get no club runs.
No, exactly. And I'm just, I don't know. I think if it gets to a point where I've run out of money in the bank, and have to open a credit card, or do you know what I mean? Like, or use the credit card. If it gets to that point, I think that's when it's going to slap hard, bruv. But at the moment, I'm good.
That's it for now. Like, it's cool, man. But, like, I'm not even trying to spend. I'm not trying to go into my savings and that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to. I'm hoping I can come out the other side of this and still, like, be all right. You get me? But obviously, with the DJ and stuff, we just don't know what the landscape is going to be on the other side of it. And. Like, I think I said it to you in the week. I just feel like the club stuff is going to come. Like, DJs ain't going to want to hear it, but I feel like we'll be last in line.
I think it's going to be the last thing to come back. But again, I can't remember 100%. I can't remember if this is a conversation we've had off air or on the podcast, but one thing that needs to maintain is whatever price you were working for when the world stopped is the price that you should be working for when the world starts spinning again. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's don't let these clubs or promoters be like, oh, bruv, you know, it's hit us as well. Da, da, da. Because there's all kinds of grants and loans and all sorts available for the clubs to be able to maintain through this time as well. And if suddenly everyone's cutting 30% off their fees, it's going to turn DJing from a viable career to a paid hobby for everybody, bruv. Because it, at the moment, I felt like before the apocalypse, it was on the edge. It's teetering on the edge of being tipped over to just being a low,
it was already there.
A low paid hobby. Do you know what I mean? Where like, it's tricky. And we've obviously said for countless times that we need to do a podcast about how much to charge and what rates
bloody
to charge
mate,
where
when
and
we
all
actually
of that
tackle
stuff.
That now.
Well, bruv, I feel
when,
like
when
once,
we actually tackle that now, flipping heck.
Yeah, once the clubs get announced,
we need to see where the landscape ends up in it.
Once the clubs are announced that they're open again, that's when we drop that episode, I think, because there's going to be a lot of people that are suddenly going out to the landscape. They're going to be very short of money. There's going to be people in a lot of desperate situations, but I think you need to play the marathon game here. You don't need to. Oh, yeah, I'll just accept that 6-hour slot for £100 because I need £100 right now. Like, no, fuck 100. That. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is not the way forwards. But
I feel like depending on how people behave when the clubs reopen, like, are people going to rush to really be going out like that again?
Yeah, I think so.
Or are the clubs
going
to need people like us a little bit more to bring the weight back to the venues, you know what I mean? And we kind of get a bit more weight on our side.
I think there's going to be a mixture. I think there's going to be some clubs, and these kind of clubs will always exist, and they're the kind of clubs that don't care about music quality. They just do numbers. They have huge capacities, and the people
they're
that go there don't give a fuck. They're the type of crowds that just do top 40. And if you play anything new that they don't like, they leave. Do you know what I mean? That kind of crowd. And there's nothing wrong with that kind of crowd. I mean, there is, but not, you know what I mean? Like,
I hear it.
They just do that. Like, it's cool to not be as serious about music as we are is cool. Like, music's just music, innit? But those kind of clubs, I feel like, will be the ones to approach DJs and be like, look, we're only paying you £100 now, even though we were paying you £300 or £400 before. Like, I feel like those are the type of clubs. But it's the more respectable clubs, the clubs that actually do value the DJs. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of shit managers and a lot of shit clubs out there, but there is just as many incredible managers and incredible clubs.
Do you think it's going to be popping though, then, bro? Do you think that when these clubs reopen, people are going to be like, yo, freedom, yeah. Braveheart style, and everyone just starts hitting the clubs? 100%,
bruv. 100%.
You think so, yeah?
It might not. What might happen is it might peak. The first weekend or the first 2 weekends back, people might suddenly just be out. Especially, bruv, look at the news.
You know what it's like, bro? Once it happens, actually, like, people, like you say, the novelty will wear off so quick. Everyone, people have been told they can't do it now, so everybody wants to do it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
A lot of,
after, like, a, after a
the
month,
minute they let them
like
back in.
I think it will peak very quickly, go up, be absolutely rammed, and then shortly after that, it will drop below what it used to be.
Okay.
And then I feel like it will then come up and even out back to its old habits. Because, bruv, don't get it twisted, yeah? Like, everyone's in lockdown now. People that weren't exercising since fucking 1991 are out now exercising every day.
Bro, all of a sudden everyone trains, man. I'm not having...
Well, that's the thing, but it's like, imagine what January's like every year. Everyone sets, fitness goals, I'm going to get this. And
yeah,
by the end
of
January,
gym's busy.
They're sick of it and they're back to old habits. Like, as soon as the lockdown is lifted... The old habits will come back for a lot of people, brother. This is a time where...
100.
This is a time where people could work on themselves. And I'm the same, brother. I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to learn a new language. I'm going to read a book every week. And, brother, have I even started any of that shit? Have I fucked? My spare time...
Your wife was like, I'm going to learn Mandarin. I've seen I heard her doing one lesson in the bedroom one night, yeah? Nothing since.
My spare time...
I said the same thing. I'm going to read books and that, bro. Man, I haven't read shit. To be fair, I've learned a lot of stuff, but I've been watching, like, tutorials and YouTube stuff, innit?
Yeah.
I've not opened a book once, mate.
No.
And I've done one training session in 2 weeks.
I haven't bettered myself. I went
for a run.
At all. If anything, I'm a worse person than before this happened.
Oh, my days. Bruv, I respect the honesty, bro.
My spare time, no bullshit, especially that week where Leanne was ill and I was solely looking after Roman, my spare time was spent on the Xbox. Bullshit, bruv. Literally, and I've downloaded a new game as well. For any gamers, Tom Clancy's Breakpoint is a fucking banging game.
This guy, you're a proper gamer buff, innit? You should get on that Twitch gaming, G.
Bruv, I'm thinking about it,
make some peas. I'm telling you, man. What else you got when you're sat in the yard, mate? You may as well.
Breakpoint is an absolutely stunning game. And it took me, like, about 3 hours to really get into it.
You know.
And that's where my spare time's been. However...
I got a football now, mate. That's my toy.
Oh, really? You got a football?
Got a football from Tesco. I'm going to go outside and play Wally today.
On your tiny little balcony.
Yeah, bruv. Oh, I swear, not having a garden, mate. Like, to be fair, I tweeted the other day and I felt bad afterwards. I was like, oh, not having a balcony is killing, man. Like, I mean, or having a garden. And then I think Jax, my boy from Newcastle, he was like, yeah, I've got friends in Newcastle that don't even have windows. I was like, rah, okay.
That don't even have windows?
That don't even have windows.
What the fuck?
Yeah, some apartments can be, like, tucked away and not have windows and that, innit?
That's like the hotel room I stayed in that time when I passed out in Manchester.
I remember.
That
guy
had
was
no
locked
windows.
Bro, imagine, no windows and that, bro.
Yeah.
Like, and then I thought, okay, maybe I shouldn't moan. But yeah. I'm like a wanderer, innit? Like, I semi get around on my own most times, but I'm always moving around, innit? Like, so, like, having to stay in one spot is the bit that's sending me under.
Yeah.
Like, I like to just bounce around and, like, flip it. I did, like, 12, 15 flights, bro, in between in January, February, and March. All of a sudden, I can't leave my living room. Like, scratching my head off, mate.
Yeah, it is a bit mad.
Anyway, getting used to it, mate. Got some plans in place and that, so I'm just going to start knuckling down and, yeah, and trying to make the most of it, and yeah, man.
Yeah.
Gonna have your off days. You're gonna have your good days. Like, there's nothing even wrong with that.
No, 100%, 100%. And I think, yeah, it's like we were saying before as well, like the other thing to take into account is start a lot of people starting new projects and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just bear in mind that when all this is lifted, old lifestyle returns. Yeah. If you've got extra things, responsibilities to do, just make sure that your time can handle it all. Because otherwise, yeah. if you fill all of your time now with new stuff and start building new stuff, when the old stuff comes back, you're not going to have time to do everything effectively. That's something that I've been really thinking about. Because I'm like,
that's true.
Do I get into building something else in a new direction? And then I'm kind of like, well, nah, not entirely. Because when this comes back, I've got like 25 interviews lined up already for when lockdown's over.
Yeah, true.
Do you know what I mean? I'm spending a week recording 25 interviews so I can get all of the content out straight away. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think this will open the gates to the digital age more though? And like a lot of this stuff might still stick.
Yeah, I think there's
like,
definitely...
I feel like we've just gone into a new phase of life now, bro.
There's going to be some market leaders, 100%. And it's going to open people up to the fact that you don't have to book a DJ to come and do a birthday party. You can actually just book an online session with a DJ. Do you know what I mean? Like, stuff like
Yo,
that.
Yo, G2 got a booking, innit? He got booked to do a Zoom party the other night, paid and everything, bro.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, man. And there's like a workers' conference and there's like 100 men in there all spooking in front of their webcams.
I think that could be a thing. And you know what it could be?
It's a bit mad.
What might happen is it might be some kind of family party and they just plug in the laptop to the speakers and in so that everyone in the family or the party or whatever kind of function it is there, but the DJ...
It's actually sick, you know. It's actually sick, isn't it?
Well, yeah,
I feel like we're in an episode of Black Mirror right now.
No, it is sick, but think about it from the DJ perspective. How do you read the crowd?
That's true.
Because when I'm in the club and I'm looking...
Look at the screen,
and
if you don't see the webcams, if a couple of webcams aren't active, then you know, then you get me. It's about having all webcams popping.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing. If you're going to do it, you're going to have to send out, like, packs to your clients. If they're paying you for this, you're gonna have to send them a pack. Right, here's the webcams, here's how you set it up,
so that you can see around.
Do you know what I mean? There's gonna be a market there, so there's gonna be a few market leaders that come out of this with very clever, do you know what I mean, like the KSIs or the PewDiePies of the online DJ world that just excel, make an absolute killing and do extremely well. Like D-Nice, for example, he seems to be the name that everyone's ringing off because of the IG Live and having Michelle Barber.
Bro, my guy's gone... He's gone to like... I swear he's gained over like a million followers on his Insta in like the last 2 weeks.
Crazy. But the thing is, again, you've got to remember, everyone's changed their behaviour. So you might suddenly... Imagine you get 10,000 followers because you're doing something. After quarantine's lifted... If you stop doing it, those 10,000 will stop following you because you're not doing the thing that they followed you for. So I feel like as important as it is to capture opportunities, don't change your behaviours too much, because when you go back to normal life, people will fuck you off. They'll just drop you. Like, that's how it works with this online world, is people only follow you if you are providing them something. Do you know what I mean? Like, or if they know you. Does that make sense? So if it goes back to normal, I hear it. If D-Nice stops doing online streams and all of that stuff and it goes back to normal, bruv, watch. 30% of those people will just drop off and they'll unfollow him when they're cleaning out next. Do you know what I mean?
It'll go from D-Nice to not nice.
But it's just, I don't know, it's strange times, bruv. But anyway, so earlier in the week, I had a phone conversation with Chloe.
Yes, sir.
Who, for the people listening that are in the WhatsApp group, will know Chloe is our resident advisor. Who, when it comes to financial stuff, she's a chartered accountant,
the resident advisor for the UK DJ community.
Yeah, shouts to DJ Volatile for setting all of this up. He basically set us up with I don't even know how many people in that group, but I woke up to 500 messages yesterday, so I know there's a lot of DJs in the group. And yeah, there's a lot of DJs, all different levels in the WhatsApp group. And Volatile set it up and brought Chloe in, who most of us, if we've worked with Volatile, actually know Chloe personally as well.
She used to be the till lady at Switch, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. She used to
that's how I met her.
She used to do a lot of work at Switch as well. And yeah, but by trade, she has a business as a chartered accountant. And she's really been extremely helpful in breaking down all of the ways that the DJs that are now out of work can actually get money. So these schemes that the governments have set up, the statutory sick pay, the universal credit, the self-employed help scheme and stuff like that, all the different things that are available for us. The conversation I had with her was about breaking that down and how we can make the most of it, how we apply and things like that. And also breaking all the terminology down into layman's terms so that very simple people like me can understand what they're talking
bro,
about.
Bro, we would have been screwed. A lot of DJs would have been in trouble without her in that group, you know. So big up to Chloe, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. So
sending out PDFs and that.
Yeah, so we reached out to Chloe anyway. And basically asked her if she would be willing to come on the podcast and break it down verbally for everybody that is listening.
Yeah, so this is the bit where I kind of get off now, isn't it? Thanks, mate.
Yeah, and she did. Well, actually, before you go, though, there is something that Chloe and I didn't talk about, which I do want to talk about real quick.
Go on.
Shouts to my friend Pedro from Brighton. He actually told me about this. There is a... One second, I'm just looking it up. Help for musicians.
I got the link for this one. Is that the £500 small grant thing?
Helpmusicians.org.uk. So Help Musicians are offering a £500 grant for any musicians that are out of pocket, basically. So you go to helpmusicians.org.uk. There's a button that you click on for Corona advice, it's called coronavirus advice. If you click on that, it takes you through to an online form. So read the page, and it basically says there's an application there of how you apply for a £500 grant. It's fully legit. It's not a loan. It's an actual grant that you get paid.
That is actually sick, man. Like, yeah, £500 in this current situation, yo. It's like it's £500, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it does explain, like, there is certain criteria that you have to meet, and this is a grant that is for people that really are just out on their arse. So I didn't actually apply for it because obviously Leanne has her job and she's got an income coming into our household. So we're not fucked, basically. Like, Leanne's got income. So I didn't apply for it because they've got a limited pot. Do you know what I mean? It's not endless money like the government. They haven't said everyone can get it. So I didn't want to take the opportunity away from someone who possibly needs the money right now. So what I would say is, if you're listening and you're not desperate for cash, maybe have a look into it just so that you're aware. But if you're not really desperate for the money, don't apply.
I might just do it anyway.
You're such a pig.
I'm joking.
but yeah.
It's a good shout.
If you're listening to the podcast and things are really tight right now, and you really do need that money.
Double will lend you a tenner.
Yeah, they're processing it quite quick, and I'll lend you a tenner.
Sick.
But yeah, helpmusicians.org.uk. They're doing quite quick processes. Pedro is telling me his payment came through very quickly. And it's a £500 payment, basically. So,
is that the same people that did the hearing campaign?
Possibly.
The same? I think it might be the same people that did the deal with the hearing care. I'm sure it was.
Yeah, it is.
I never did that either.
Protect your hearing. Yeah, it is. I'm just looking at their website. There is definitely a thing on there as well.
It's good to have stuff like that out there, man. That's a good look.
In fact, you're right. I think this is when I did the solo podcast episode and I did about hearing care. This is one of the, I'm recognized the website now. This is one of the places I actually looked.
There you go.
I tell you what, we need to get one of these people from Help Musicians on the podcast.
That's a great shout.
Yeah, we'll line it up.
Bro, it's not as if people have... They're not going to have a lot going on right now, innit? So there's not a better time to reach out to these kind of people, I guess.
No, exactly. Exactly. So, anyway, should we get into the phone call I had with Chloe?
Yeah, man. Let's do it.
Good shit. So, yeah, this is me chatting with Chloe, who, once again, she's a chartered accountant. She's helping us out. And she's helping me go through all the ways that the government can... give you that free money, basically.
Double put that work in, man. I've not heard this yet, so yeah, I'm gonna check this out myself.
Yeah.
So bye.
Here it goes. On your marks, get set, go.
Safe.
So you are the expert. Are you, just to give a bit of background on yourself. You're a chartered accountant, right?
Yeah, so I work predominantly in industry, so I don't work in an accountant's firm. I work in for a company doing their accounts, but my training was AAT, which is kind of like an entry-level bookkeeping qualification, and then I went on to do something that's called CIMA, which is the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants.
Okay.
So yeah, I've done my time.
Done your time. So you're pretty qualified. You're high up the chain when it comes to this stuff then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good to know. You're an expert. You're our expert right here.
Your resident expert.
Exactly. So obviously, pretty much every DJ when it comes to actual DJ work now is essentially out the job. So what we wanted you to do today was kind of break down in as much detail, but also layman's terms, if that makes sense, the things that are available for us, which obviously extends to other self-employed people as well, but essentially we're talking to the DJs now. So firstly, starting off with just if you're a DJ and you're like a sole trader, just self-employed, and now you have absolutely zero income, what is the next step and what are the things available?
Okay, so the things that have been announced through the government, obviously the ESA, which was the support that was kind of brought in at the start to bring in line self-employed people with the statutory sick pay that employed people can get. So I think it was, let me just check the actual number, 70 something pounds a week. And that was available to you if you were self-isolating or if you actually kind of had to take time off because you had the virus.
Right.
Now, I don't know if people are still applying for that. As far as I'm aware, everything I've read, you can still apply for that and that's still valid. It is only a kind of one payment of £140. It's a lot of effort to apply for it. There's a lot of kind of restrictions on who can. And it's very closely linked with the universal credit. So
okay.
I think you are best off at the moment just applying for the universal credit because I think they can put that into that payment. The universal, and obviously there's been a lot of talk about this, the universal credit application is hugely long and a lot of time is required and a lot of patience because you have to apply online and then you have to wait for your telephone interview. And in between that, you have to get through all of the hold processes, and I think some people are spending 3-4 hours on hold.
Yeah, in the WhatsApp group, they're saying a 4.5 hour wait on the phone just to get through to someone. And that's that phone call as well is just to get through to someone to get an appointment for a phone interview, right?
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, in fairness to them, I think the statistic yesterday I saw was there was something like 900,000 people had applied for universal credit in the last 2 weeks who hadn't already applied. So it's a huge number of people.
Yeah.
And that system is just not set up for that amount of people. So I guess that they're trying to get through it as quickly as possible. Obviously beforehand you had to go to an actual job center and have a face-to-face interview. They've got rid of all of that. So you don't have to do that anymore. But you do still have to go through all of this process. In terms of universal credit, there's the things that you can't have if you want to apply for it are, you can't have, and this is unfortunately including people you're living with, your partners, your husbands, wives, whatever, you're counted as one household, which is where it's throwing a lot of people off because some people's partners are still working,
right?
They're getting first, so it's, you're kind of counted as one unit, which isn't necessarily the fairest thing in the world, but that's
so if, essentially, if you have income coming into your house through your partner or if you still live with your parents and they have income coming in. So it's based on your household income then, basically. And what's the benchmark for that?
So there is no actual, you can't kind of go online and find a cutoff of income that they will, like, they don't make that very easily available.
Okay.
So you and your partners can't have £16,000, more than £16,000 in savings.
Right.
And also included in that is equity in a property that isn't the house you live in. So say you or your partner have got an old house that you didn't sell when you moved in together or whatever,
okay,
and you rent it out.
Mm-hmm.
That equity if there's more than 16,000, that's classed as savings.
Right,
okay. And which is a bit of an unfair thing, because in this environment at the moment, nobody's able to liquidate their house.
I was going
to
say, like, you're not going to sell your house now to get the cash out. That's probably the worst thing to do.
Yeah, so that's a little bit unfair, but that is the rules of universal credit. So that's a really important factor to know, that kind of that equity in a second property.
Yeah.
You've got to be under the state pension age, which obviously all of the DJs pretty much are. Can I say Westwood might not be?
No, I was just about to say it. What is the state pension age? Is that 65?
Oh, I think it's gone up now, isn't it? I think it's like 66 or 67, but it keeps going up every year. But yeah, right. you've got to be under state pension age and you've got to be over 18.
Okay. Right.
There are some exceptions for 16 and 17 year olds, but not very many. So that's kind of, and I think everybody we're talking to here is pretty much over the age of 16.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, I think the 16 and 17 year old DJs that are out there are either not in the clubs or they're probably still living at their mum and dad's, luckily for them. So they probably don't need to apply for the universal credit. So in terms of the application process, I haven't actually started mine yet. So it's interesting what you said about the household income. I will have to look into that because obviously my other half has a job. She's got a proper job like you.
She's got a real job.
She's got a real job, yeah. So is there a cut-off point, or are they backdating it? So, for example, I don't want to sit on the phone for 4.5 hours waiting right now. If I wait till, say, mid-May to begin the application, do you know if it's backdatable?
I don't know where they're backdating it to. I think it might be March or when you apply.
Right.
I know that obviously the other benefits that come in, they're backdating until March. I think with universal credit, it might just be the day you apply.
Right. Okay.
To be honest, I'm not 100% sure what that is, what their kind of rules are on it. So I wouldn't like to say, but I can have a look and find out.
That's fine.
The other thing to note is that they removed the minimum income floor, which is a bit of a term that people, unless you've been in the kind of universal credit system, you don't really know what that means. But when previously what happened is, if you were self-employed, you could always be self-employed and claim for universal credit.
Right.
That's never been an issue. But what they used to do is work out kind of what they expected you to earn, even if you didn't earn it. Does that make sense? So they kind of worked out what the minimum wage was. So say you set up a self-employed and you were on the kind of the credit scheme, they would say to you, well, as you're self-employed, and you should be earning this amount of money because this is how much money you should be, how many hours you should be working in a day, base it on minimum wage, how many hours. And that was kind of your minimum income floor. So they almost kind of, even if you weren't making that money, they assumed you should have been making that money. So they only gave you benefits on anything that didn't come into that, whereas now they've got rid of it. So now there is no minimum income floor. So that's
so they're essentially they're accepting the fact that there are people out there literally earning nothing now because their industry has come
there is no work
to a halt. Right,
yeah,
okay.
It's not like they can't, they're being lazy and they can't be bothered to do it. It's the fact that there is no availability to work.
Got you.
So there's that. Obviously, people who have got children, dependents, anything like that, the kind of benefits that you're able to get then go up, and child tax credits, and I'm not an expert on how they work, but the point of universal credit is that it's all one benefit. I have there are two or three websites where they've got the online calculators that you can put all of your details into, and they will tell you exactly what you're entitled to with different benefits and stuff, so they break it down for you.
Right, okay, amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they're quite handy to have links to as well. I think one is entitled2.co.uk or something similar.
Okay, so how would you find them? If that's not the right website, how would you find them? Is it just Google online benefit calculator,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, if you Google benefit calculator, you'll pretty much come up. But I think the top two are the ones you want to use. So.
Okay, sick. Cool. So just quickly jumping back to the statutory sick pay you mentioned. So is that something you can claim alongside the universal credit, do you say, or it's been included in the universal credit?
It's a weird one, because if you look at it, it kind of says on some of them, if you've already got a Universal Credit account, then you can claim that through, they can top it up into there.
Right.
If you don't have a Universal Credit account, then you can claim it. It's the only kind of benefit left that you can claim separately.
Right, okay.
The kind of, at this point, people should be, if they are able to, claiming Universal Credit, so it's probably best to do it all in one account rather than doing it separately.
Yeah.
People who can't claim Universal Credit might still be able to get the other benefit and should do that separately.
Right. Okay, so let's move on to the stuff that Rishi announced when he kind of saved a lot of us for the help for the self-employed now. So starting from the beginning, I understand that even if you are still working, this is something that can be claimed for as well, right?
Yeah, so this is the major difference between what's been announced for the self-employed and freelancers and the employed the people in PAYE jobs. So people in PAYE jobs, to get the help, the 80% that the government are offering, you can't work. You have to be furloughed and you can't do anything for your employer.
Okay.
Whereas this self-employed help, you can work and you can carry on doing whatever you're doing to the best of your ability. There's no caveat on you not doing anything at all.
Right, okay.
The trade-off for that is that what they're giving is a taxable grant, if you like. So that's where they're evening it out. They're kind of saying you can carry on earning, but you are going to have to pay tax on every penny we give you.
Right, okay. So let's just say they send a £3,000 grant somebody's way. £1,000 of that, essentially, they're going to have to send back to HMRC as the tax, right?
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a difficult one. So I'll kind of talk through what the rules of this scheme are at the moment, because then it'll make a bit more sense.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a trading profit under 50,000.
Yep.
That's profit, not turnover.
Okay.
Most of your income has to come from being self-employed, so that needs to be more than half of your earnings.
Yeah.
Some people are obviously in a situation where they're PAYE and self-employed, it has to be more than half.
Yeah.
Partnerships are included. So if you're in a partnership, that profit from that partnership is included. And you must have a tax return from 2019. We'll come back around to that because there's lots of questions regarding that situation.
Yeah.
So they're saying your average earnings over the last 3 years, 80%, you can have 80% of that, mm-hmm. or up to a maximum of £2,500 per month.
So I guess now, whichever is lowest is the amount they'll pay out then, right?
Yeah, you get the lowest of those two figures.
Right.
Now, the difficult thing to work out is the tax that will be incurred on that, because obviously this is going to depend quite heavily on what happens for the rest of the year, how long this goes on for.
Yeah.
So in theory, 20% of that grant, whatever you get, say you get the £2,500 per month, 20% of that could go back in tax. But what the other side of that is say the whole of this tax year is a complete write-off,
mm-hmm.
you still get your £12,500 personal allowance.
So this grant would be under the £12,500 allowance,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly. So you could still be under the personal allowance.
Right.
So there's no kind of guarantee that you're going to have to pay that tax if, like I say, they have to in June say we're going to have to do this again for another 3 months.
Yeah.
Then you're still going to be well under where you need to be. So it really is a bit of a kind of not sure what happens the rest of the year. And obviously people who are still earning a little bit in different kind of ways or whatever are still bringing money in, that includes. So it's quite difficult to kind of work out what the kind of tax implications of that money would be. The only thing that I think is the best advice is to assume that you will have to pay 20% tax on it.
Right,
because
okay.
if you put that away at the start when you get the grant, then at worst case scenario, you're going to have a little bit of savings when kind of tax rolls in.
Yeah, precisely.
But obviously that's not possible for everybody. Some people are going to need that money. So
well, that's the thing, I think, because they're saying they can't pay it out till June, there are people that literally have no income that might have to get credit cards or use credit cards or bank loans, etc., to tide them over until that comes in, and then that amount of money may actually end up paying off a majority of whatever debt they get into through this time, so they might not be able to put it away.
It's really difficult because the June thing, I think, I don't think anybody was expecting it to take that long. I think everybody kind of thought it would be a lot sooner. The only thing I can say is from an employer's point of view, employers aren't getting their kind of 80% much earlier. They're being told that it will hopefully be refunded back to us the end of, well, the very best the end of April, but more likely the beginning of May.
Right.
So obviously people have had employers have had two paydays, really, yeah, where they've had to pay out that money as well and wait for it to come back. And I think this is where we're going to see a lot of problems in smaller businesses or businesses that don't hold a lot of cash, because they're still having to pay out. They're not getting it refunded before they pay it. They have to have the cash available to pay it in the first place.
Right, yeah.
So that's one thing to note, is obviously it is taxable, and everybody needs to kind of bear that in mind, that this isn't just
so that will be if over the next 12 months, obviously it's the start of April now, so we're literally a day away from starting a new tax year. So it's taxable if in the next 12 months you make more than 12.5 grand, basically.
Yeah, your personal allowance still stands, and they haven't given out any guidance to say that this won't be included in your normal income. They've not said that it's going to be treated any differently. So that still stands. You still get your 12,500.
Yeah.
So it really just depends how the rest of your tax year goes. Obviously, the fact that you don't have to pay your tax on account in July now is a big help. Because you can put that off until...
Yeah, so for the people that don't understand that, because I know a lot of guys are kind of new with their books and stuff, and there's a lot of terms that are kind of lost with people that aren't really savvy with it. So the tax on account is effectively, it's something that you pay, is it 50% of next year's tax? Is that correct?
Yeah, so I think... having this conversation earlier with somebody else, the thing I think that throws out most people in their first year of self-employment, and I don't know why it's not in massive letters on the page that you register to be self-employed, because that is exactly where I put it, is that in your first ever tax return, you pay the tax that you are due to pay on that tax return. Because the thing with self-employed people is they're always a year behind.
Yeah.
So you pay the tax that year, and then effectively you pay the current year you're in upfront. So you whatever your tax bill was, if it was over £1,000, if it's under £1,000, then you don't have to pay anything up front. But let's just assume that people are making their living out of this, so the tax is probably going to be more than £1,000.
Yeah.
You have to pay 50% in that payment you're making there and then.
Yeah.
So let's say, for argument's sake, your tax was £5,000, you've got to pay £7,500 there and then, because then you've paid half. And then in the July that follows, you pay the other £2,500.
Yeah.
And then you're always then kind of working out of what you've already paid. So when you come around to your next actual tax return, you deduct those payments you've made, and then you pay for your next tax.
Yeah, so I mean, that's what I always found. The first one I ever did was an absolute bitch, because it was like, well, why am I got to pay half? But obviously, if you do it for more than a year, you're just paying half ahead of yourself, so it kind of just evens out.
Yeah, you're kind of balancing it out, so you don't really notice it. But that first one, it just, so many people, and like I say, I don't know why they don't make it a lot clearer than they do, because it trips up so many. And even people who think they're doing really well, they've put all their tax away, they're like, I've got this, and then they file their first tax return, they're like, well, I was just never expecting it.
No, absolute nightmare.
So what they've done, so that payment there, that July payment, is effectively half of whatever your previous tax bill was.
Yeah.
And normally it's due on the 31st of July. What they've said is, and now you don't have to phone up. This is automatically assumed by HMRC.
Right.
So you don't have to get their permission. You don't have to let them know that's what's going to happen. They've assumed that everybody's going to take it. And they've said, that's not due. You can pay it in January. There are no penalties. There's no interest. You won't be penalised for it.
Excellent.
So that's one thing. The only thing I will say is, people who can afford to pay it, because it's not being written off. It's just being pushed.
It's just being pushed back. It's one of those tricky ones, though, because I imagine there's a lot of people, when you don't know when this situation is going to end, if you've got a few grand in the bank because you put it back for tax, are you then just going to pay it into the tax or hold it for the rainier days later in the year? It's a very tricky one.
Well, I think the safe option is to put it in a separate account. and know that it's your tax money and just keep hold of it, because HMRC don't often give you anything for free. So if you keep hold of it and just know that it's there, and then if you get desperate, you've got that money, but you've put it to one side and you've gone...
Exactly. At the end of it all, you can actually still pay the tax bill. Because, I mean, we can't be under any illusion. They're doing all this cool stuff for us now, but when this is over, they're definitely going to come with the pot. Do you know what I mean? They're going to come knocking on the doors with the donation
very
pot.
Clear.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that everybody can take from this, is that being self-employed after this is not going to be as nice. Not nice, because obviously these are the situations where you're not getting the cover of being employed. You're not getting the kind of benefit of knowing that you probably have a job to go to, even if you've been furloughed. But the tax kind of positives of it, being able to have a lot more expenses than people who are employed and all of those things, I think they're just going to be absolutely wiped out. I think some of his language when he was announcing these measures was very much like, we're coming for you.
Yeah, I did notice he said, you know, afterwards there's going to be reforms in the way that self-employed people pay tax. So it's I imagine there's going to probably be an increase to help pay this all back, but also...
They've been saying for a few years, and I don't know when they're going to bring it in, but one of the kind of things that was mentioned ages ago is they wanted self-employed people to not have this system where they're always behind with their tax.
Yeah.
They wanted it to be... HMRC have this thing they're obsessed with, which is real-time information, RTI, and it's gone through employers, so we have it with now VAT, we have it with PAYE. So they have all of your info. Every time you do payroll now...
Yeah.
What used to happen is it was a very similar situation where you had to fill in all these forms months afterwards. Now it's very much you have to send it at the end of the month, and they have all of your employee information every month. And that's what they want to bring in for self-employed people.
Kind of so makes sense to do it that way. As much as I would, it's going to be an absolute headache doing the extra paperwork. It kind of makes more sense. And I feel like it will be a lot nicer anyway. I hate at the end of the year having to send such a big chunk of cash. Do you know what I mean? Like,
if they just made it very... I mean, a lot of people now, and if people who are listening to this haven't got it, download QuickBooks. It's worth whatever the subscription is a month. It's not very much. It's just an app on your phone, and it is so easy to use for accounting purposes.
Okay, what's it called? QuickBooks?
It's called QuickBooks.
Okay.
It links to all of your bank account. You can take photos of your receipts, you can issue invoices off it, you can always see how much profit you've got, what your turnover is, and it's just really simple to use. You don't have to know anything about accounting or accounts, and I think that that will change a lot of people's way that they deal with stuff like tax returns, because you just print off a few reports, everything's in there, send it off to your accountant, no big deal.
Right, okay.
And I think, to be honest, if people aren't using it, it's something maybe not QuickBooks specifically, but I think that that will be the sort of thing that they bring in, where they're asking people to give monthly information to HMRC.
HMRC book.
Yeah. HMRC, just come around your house and go through your stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think that that's a really good tip for anybody across any range of self-employment who is just working for themselves. It's, like I say, really simple to use. And just having an app on your phone makes things seem less dramatic than having to sit at a laptop and fill in spreadsheets, I think.
Yeah, spreadsheets. Don't get me started on spreadsheets. Let's swing back around to, you mentioned about the monthly allowance for the self-employed, that you had to have a tax return for, what was it, 1920 or
1819? 1819. So what they're doing is they're taking an average of your income from the tax return 1617, 1718 and 1819. And these dates always throw people off, because they're obviously tax years and you have to sit and think about what that actually means in terms of years. So basically, if you didn't file a tax return in this January 2020, or you haven't filed one but you were supposed to, that they're the people who are included in this. Anybody who didn't have to do that isn't getting any help, other than the benefit systems that are already in place.
So essentially, the DJs that started last year after April began and they haven't filed their very first tax return yet, essentially they're being told, like, we can't help you. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, that's a shame, because there are a few in that boat. I know there's a few people that transitioned from PAYE, you know, from being in employment, And last year they gave up their 9-to-5s to actually pursue DJing as a full-time thing. So obviously they haven't completed their first year yet. So yeah.
And especially in kind of the DJing industry, some people can go very far in a year. They can earn a lot in a year. Mm-hmm. So it is, it's definitely going to affect a few people that it's possibly not fair. In fairness to what they've done, if they hadn't have done that, I don't know how they'd have done it. I don't know.
Suddenly
what.
There's 60 million self-employed people in the country.
Trust me, I think I'd have been self-employed. I've been like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a tricky one because they've obviously had to try and cut out some of the obvious routes to fraud, but that has come at the expense of some genuine people who have now got no income and nowhere to turn. Another good one to know that have kind of been left with nothing are the people who are self-employed but running limited companies and taking dividends.
Right.
And this is a bit of a frustrating one for me because I it's something I've spoken about before with other people. When you set up a company, a lot of people feel like setting up a limited company is a good idea for different reasons. Some are told by accountants that it's the most tax advantage way to do it, which it technically is. There's not a lot in it anymore, but that you do save a bit of tax by being a limited company.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know enough about businesses to know if they should or shouldn't. They trust their accountants. They've told them it's the best thing to do. And other people have this situation where if you're a limited company, you get taken more seriously by different organisations. I don't think so much in the DJ world, but in kind of, I don't know, media in general. If you're a limited company, then you give this approach. We're a real professional company.
Of course.
Working out of our back bedroom. So they've kind of done this, and now they've been left out to dry a little bit because they're not going to get anything because they've almost looked at them like they're dodging tax on purpose. And that's not the reason a lot of people... They're not thinking about, I want to try and save as much. They're not kind of on that level. They're just trying to do the right thing, and they're taking their minimum salary and they're taking their dividends, and now they're going to get nothing.
Even as a limited company, the limited companies aren't being offered any kind of help in this, helping the business scheme.
Not,
is that right?
Not when it comes to that sort of thing where they've not. So say you decided to set up your own limited company for yourself as your DJ brand. What you would do, or what an accountant would advise you to do, is they would advise you to take a minimum salary through PAYE, which would be under all of the tax and national insurance thresholds.
So that essentially, I'd just pay myself 12 grand a year from the company because then I don't have to pay tax.
It would be even less than that because it would be to get under national insurance. So it'd actually even be less than that.
Right, okay.
And then you take the rest in dividends because the tax on dividends is lower than income tax.
Right.
Again, there were some reforms a few years ago, so there's not much in it now at all, but it is still slightly cheaper.
Yeah.
And what they've basically said is anybody who's in that situation can take advantage of the PAYE scheme. But also there's a bit of kind of an issue there because there's some rules on the fact that are you really an employee if you're the company? So they're kind of catching people both ways. They're saying you're not self-employed, so you're not able to get the self-employed help, but also you're not really PAYE. And I've seen a few discussions on it, and some people are getting around it, and they're able to claim a little bit back through what they would have had PAYE. But obviously, again, it's so little compared to what they were actually earning that it's not really any help.
Yeah.
So I don't know if something will come in place for those guys, because I think that it has been brought up a few times.
There must be many people in that position as well.
And the people I feel sorry for are the people, like I say, who took advice to be in that position, not because they wanted to. It is. I've seen so many accountants, lots of people advise people who are just starting out to do exactly that thing.
Yeah.
And to me, my advice always is to people, if you're starting a company, if you're starting a business and you're starting to work for yourself, always just go self-employed first, unless you've got a really good reason not to, just because it's so much less admin. So you don't have to report to company's house. You can just kind of get in, and then if you get bigger and you want to move into a limited company, do that, but get used to it first. But I mean, it's kind of, again, what makes me think that it's a little bit of a middle finger to people who he assumed were doing it to not pay all the correct tax that they should be paying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a shame. Well, I hope they do manage to sort something out. Back to the self-employed one, when you mentioned about they're going to take an average of the last 3 years. Is that the amount? So they're going to be paying 80%. Is it just the taxable profit that they're paying 80% of, or is it the total profit?
No, so it's the taxable profit. So what you want to do is go through and find the self-assessments for those years, like I said, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
Dig out your self-assessments, find your bottom line profit out of that, the one that you paid tax on.
Right.
So it's your trading profit, and work out the average of those numbers. So first of all, that's got to be under £50,000.
Right. So that's it might sound a bit confusing for some people, but so everything you've earned above 12.5 grand is the bits that we're adding. So if you made 20 grand in a year, basically we're talking about the 7.5 grand. That's what we're talking about.
No. You're looking at your total so you don't take into account in fact let me dig up an actual self-assessment so I can tell everybody exactly where to look. So on a self-assessment, you want to go to want to add some sort of musical interlude over the
Look, okay, I'll tell you what we could do. We could play the HMRC hold music while
if you could, that would be wonderful. So you want to go to your tax calculation summary, which is kind of normally your second from last page.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you'll see all of your tax things. The box above all of this. Box number 31, there you go, it couldn't be more simple. Box number 31 on your tax return is your total taxable profits from your business. That's the number you want. Don't look at anything else. Don't look at what tax you've paid, how much was tax-free. Just look at your total taxable profits, box 31 on any tax return you've done. And for people who are using SA302s, which is a tax calculation, is your profit from self-employment the first number you get to on that.
Right, okay.
So they're the numbers you want to be doing.
So that number then is what, the total profit or the total profit above the threshold, above the personal
tax? No, that is your total profit.
Okay. Oh, well, that's good news for a lot of guys, obviously, that are just about touching the personal allowance then and you know.
Yeah, they're not going to have a zero figure. They're going to have a 12 or 13 or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're the numbers you want to use. You want to add them up together. And the other thing to note is if you haven't been self-employed for 3 years, you've only done two, they're just taking an average of 2 years. If you've only done 1 year, they're just taking your 1 year figure. They're not kind of penalizing people who haven't done a full 3 years. They're just taking whatever numbers they can get.
Right. Okay. Okay. That is good news, I guess.
Yeah. And so you take your 3 year average, for anybody who wants basic maths, that is add all three and divide by three. GCSE math, that's not even GCSE. What's that? That's like year 7 math.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably key stage 3.
I'm
home tutoring now, I'm probably near to that stage, so I'll be able to tell you soon enough.
So you take that average, work it out over a month, so divide it by 12, get your monthly average, and that should be your figure. Now, I'm not being held to that because they haven't released any guidance. I would be amazed if they managed to find a different way to make an average figure. Mm-hmm. I think we're pretty safe in saying that's what it is, but you never know, this is HMRC. And then it's 80% of that figure, or 2,500 if it's more than 2,500.
Right.
Now, in June, they're going to give you that in one lump sum for 3 months.
So it'll be March, April, and May.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're getting that in June. Now, the only thing that they haven't made clear yet, and I don't think they will because obviously they've said it's taxable, but they could do it, is they could say, and this is what I mean earlier when we're trying to take account of what tax they're going to pay, they could just say, because it's taxable, we're going to take 20% off it before we pay you.
Right, they might just tax it before they give it to us, right?
Yeah, they'll just tax it before you give it to you, and then you balance that out at the end of the tax year. So if they've taken too much tax, you get it back or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think they will, because I don't think they can be bothered to try and...
I imagine that's quite a big system to set up. Not to mention, when it comes to actually getting the tax back off people, they'll probably... Do you think they might be able to cash in on a few fines and interest on late payments and stuff like that? So if they tax it first, they won't get that.
I don't think they will. I think it will just be a gross payment and you have to sort your tax out when it comes around to that. But it's something to bear in mind. I think it's always worth just seeing what that other figure is.
Yeah.
Just in case that is what you get. They are... contacting everybody who's eligible, so they're not asking anybody to contact them. There's no point spending your day on the phone to HMRC on hold. You might as well just wait for them, and they haven't said when. I think if you've got an email address registered with them, that the chances are they'll email you. If not, they'll write a letter to you. It's probably good advice to anybody to just log into your HMRC account if you've got access to it, and just check that your address and email addresses are all up to date.
Good advice.
And just make sure that you're not kind of going to miss an important email.
Yeah, and so they've not mentioned at all when they're going to do that by, have they? Because I know there's going to be a lot of people sat twiddling their thumbs waiting for the letter to drop through the letterbox, and it might not come for some people.
They haven't said. I can't imagine that they're going to do it in the next 4 weeks. Well, whatever 4 weeks would have been when he made the announcement.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, he said anybody who hadn't submitted their tax return that was due in January and they just hadn't submitted it because they were late,
mm-hmm.
they had an extra 4 weeks to submit it. So just to clarify that, if you were supposed to put in a tax return in January 2020 and for whatever reasons you didn't, you're late, you've got a fine, your fine has been waived as far as I am aware. I don't think that they're kind of chasing up on it.
Yeah.
And you can go in now and submit that tax return.
Man, so there's going to be some big earners on the late list, aren't there?
Lots
of people that have just earned that 49 grand in the last year.
Yeah, definitely. I think they won't do anything in 4 weeks, because I think they'll wait for that deadline to pass before they start telling people, just so they know they're catching everybody at once and they don't have to go back and do it again.
Yeah.
In fairness, I don't envy HMRC. They've had huge job cuts, and so they're at the lowest staffing that they've had for years, and now they've got to roll out essentially two brand new systems, one for employers and one for self-employed.
For the entire country as well.
Yeah, it is mad, absolutely mad.
Yeah, I bet they're not working from home.
No. Do you know what? I don't envy them. I would not want to be in their situation at all, because I imagine they are so stressed out right now. Imagine having to just answer call after call after call.
Yeah, literally, you know, before you get to work, your day, you've got 900,000 people. It's almost like it's like the local Aldi. There's 900,000 people outside in the queue waiting to get in, and that's what you're dealing with.
Thanks.
All day is people asking. And I imagine probably loads of the people calling are asking if they're eligible for it. And they're just going to have to be told, well, you're going to have to find out. We'll write to you. What a headache.
Yeah, exactly. And they have, I think, done that to cover themselves in the fact that they really don't want to have to kind of manually. I think their grand plan is to come up with some sort of software or whatever that can automatically search out the people who are who are eligible, so they don't have to. But, I mean, obviously... they haven't announced when they're going to do this, but at some point I will assume that they will communicate when people are supposed to know. If you are missed off, if you don't hear anything past that date when they've kind of said that they're going to let people know, do chase them up, because if you've, like we've said, not got the right email address for you, or you've moved and you've not had the communication and you know you're due it, then don't just kind of sit there and think, oh, I must not be, because they might have missed you.
It's more good advice, definitely. Yeah. So I guess when you see, because it's going to be on social media where everyone starts to get their checks coming in and stuff, like when you start seeing all your friends getting paid and you've not even got the letter yet, it's probably worth chasing them up.
But definitely.
Okay, so we've covered the sick pay, universal credit, and does the self-employed one even have a name? Is it just the help for the self-employed? Does that, like the other stuff, universal
just
credit and
calling it? Let's see what their official name is: Self-Employment Income Support Scheme.
Okay,
so that's what they've
self-employment
gone for there.
Income Support Scheme. Is there any other financial aid available, like any other legal loopholes and stuff that people can take advantage of if they're literally stuck out in the cold right now with no earnings? anything else that you're aware of that they can utilize to get the money in?
Okay, so one of the things they did mention, and again, they're very good at kind of talking about things and not issuing the guidelines in great detail, but one of the things that was mentioned in that same speech about self-employment support scheme is that self-employed people are also eligible for the kind of loans that they're offering out to businesses. So you know that they're doing these emergency loans that are backed through the British Business Bank or whatever. You are also entitled to that, is what they said. Again, I haven't seen any particular detail on that. And it is a loan. That's the thing. It's not a grant. It does need to be paid back.
Yeah, it's an interest-free for 12 months loan, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. And they're, so they'd be through kind of the big banks. You'd phone up. There is a list of which banks are running it. You phone up and you say to them, I need this kind of loan for this, and the idea is that they have to have a really good reason to not give you that loan, and they're on favorable terms. They're not huge. I mean, the interest rates are obviously at the lowest they've ever been, so it's not going to be a hugely expensive loan, but again, it is a loan. It does need to be paid back. It's not going to kind of fix anything. The grants and stuff that are available for small businesses only relate to people who have got business premises. So if you're paying business rates, then there's a lot of grants available at the moment, especially for the kind of retail, hospitality and leisure industry.
Yeah, so the grants grants aren't loans, are they?
No, the grants are completely kind of given to you, and there's no expectation. As long as you are eligible and you meet all of their kind of criteria, then there's no you don't have to pay it back. That's not a kind of thing of it. But so I think essentially every small business, and that's determined on business rates by, you get a thing called a small business rate relief. So it's council tax for businesses, essentially.
Yeah.
And on your paperwork, it will say you get a small business rate relief. They're getting £10,000.
Right,
and then
it's
more money for people who are in the retail, hospitality and leisure industry. They're getting £25,000 and different kind of, I think they're getting no business rates for 12 months as well.
Right. Crazy. Yeah, it's mad how they're able to just switch all this stuff on all of a sudden, huh? But it's
I know, it's like they found a load of money down the back of the sofa that we didn't know was there, isn't it?
I know, yeah. It's crazy.
It's gonna be tough. I think the thing to note as well is after this is over, it's not gonna be a case of everywhere's just gonna open their doors in 3 months and everything's gonna go. There's a lot, like, this money is gonna have to be paid back, and I mean the good news is it's on a global level. It's not just us. Everybody is going to be in the same situation. Every country that's been affected by this is going to have to deal with all of this over the next however many years. But there's going to be a lot of people who come out of this not being employed, because I think the statistic at the moment is 1 in 5 businesses, small and medium businesses, aren't going to survive this.
Wow.
Even with all the government funding and everything they're trying to do, obviously there's still going to be a lot of people who don't have the cash to make their payments that they need to make, and to pay their staff and to do everything else that they need to do. So we're going to lose a lot of businesses, and we're going to have some really tough times afterwards. I don't think it's just going to go straight back to normal. It's going to be difficult, I think, for everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough road. I think one thing that's definitely worth pointing out, especially in terms of the way that the country operates after, is some of this stuff is free money, essentially. But like you say, there's loans and stuff there. But I think it's really important for people to understand not to take advantage of the system and literally take the money that you're eligible for if you need it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because the problem is so many millions of people that are all in the same boat now. It's going to be, we're kicking over a big stack of things that we have to pick up when this infection disappears. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like the more people that are reasonable about the money that's available, the easier it's going to be on the tail end of this. Because I honestly think tax will probably go up. Like maybe next year, maybe the year after. They might add 10% onto income tax just to kind of heal the wound that they've had to give out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think what you just said there is really important. If you're in a situation, and I've seen a lot of people kind of have the comments, who's doing well in this? There are people who are doing very well in this. And it's not in a kind of they're taking advantage. They're, I mean, IT companies who are helping companies get their staff work from working from home, computer companies who are selling laptops. I mean, also one thing that people don't really think about is a lot of doctors are actually self-employed.
Right.
They're obviously, they're out on the front line and they're doing something that a lot of people don't want to be doing at the moment. But money-wise, they are doing well because they've got more work now. So it's, there are groups of people. So I think you're right in really stressing if you don't need to, if you're not kind of in need, if you're not struggling, if your income hasn't been affected by this, don't take it just because it's there, because they have made it really clear that they can't really protect against fraud in these systems.
Yeah.
It's more important to them to get it out and get it to the people who need it, even at the risk of it being taken advantage of, than it is to kind of worry about all the people who shouldn't be claiming it. So I think it's down to us as good humans to not take advantage of a situation when we don't need it, because other people really do.
Yeah, 100%.
And the situation out there for some people is really, really desperate at the moment.
It's really, really bad for some people. I mean, I've spoken to guys that literally are completely out of work, their partners don't work, or they live alone, and suddenly their income, which has been quite a healthy income, has overnight it stopped, and now they literally have nothing else coming in. So although they've been given 90 days grace on the mortgages and stuff, that 90 days might expire before we all get back to work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, and I mean, the mortgage holiday is still, again, the word holiday makes it seem very nice, but it's not kind of a pause. You have to make that up later down the line.
Oh, yeah, they're adding interest every day, right? I mean, I've stopped my payments as well right now, but I'm aware that when it starts up again, the monthly payments will be bigger than they were before to make up the gap.
So I think it's really important that people who do need that take it, because it is there.
Yeah.
Exactly, like, don't think about what it will be in 3 months. I know that sounds really silly, but at this point, if you're needing that break, just take it and figure that out later down the line.
That's the thing. This is such a huge thing that the mortgage companies will be putting things in place to kind of balance it all out. But in a reasonable way, I feel. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to say, you did miss that payment, so now we want your house. Like, I think everybody's in the same situation. So it's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of... There is a silver lining to this, if that makes sense, because the mortgage companies now do understand that everyone's in this. One more question I had for you, actually, in terms of... You might not know the answer, but in terms of pausing credit card payments, car finance payments, and whatever else other people might have, is there any effect to credit scores? Because I've heard that phrase been thrown about. I don't understand a lot about it, but I do know if you miss certain payments, it affects your credit score, which in turn further down the line means lenders, mortgages, landlords, credit cards, etc. It's a lot harder to get that stuff. Do you know anything about that?
I know a little bit. I won't claim to be an expert, so it's always best to check with your kind of providers and stuff. The advice I would give is, I think that they are, especially credit cards, are doing a lot to help people who can't, like, they're lowering minimum payments where they can. So they're saying, okay, just pay us £5 this month or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think as long as you have agreed that with your credit card company, and I know that at the moment there's a lot of time spent on hold to have a look on your actual apps and online banking, because a lot of the banks have now put stuff specifically in, especially with mortgages at the moment, a lot of mortgage companies, you can log into your online account and take the mortgage holiday without having to spend 4 hours on hold speaking to somebody.
Yeah.
But I think as long as you're agreeing it with your provider, I don't think they will affect your credit score whatsoever. I think just make that really, have a conversation with them when you're doing it, say, I can't afford this, and can you confirm it won't affect my credit score, and you get that reassurance. They are able to remove stuff from your credit file, I know that. So I think they've got the ability to kind of not let it affect your credit score.
Right. That's good news.
But I think with anything like this, just make sure you're informing them.
Yeah, the key thing being, don't just log onto your bank and cancel all your direct debits and think it's going to be all right and you can just start again in 3 months. Like, they're not just going to assume that. But yeah, make contact and then obviously explain to them. At least that way something's on your file with them and they know what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. And what I always do when I speak to anybody on the phone for anything like that is I always take their name, because I just think if you've got a name and a time you called, then if you have an argument with them later down the line, they record all of their calls. They can go back and hear that person has told you that thing.
100%.
So it just gives you a bit of reassurance.
Gems, dropping gems.
Yeah, I think at the moment it is going to be tough for everybody. Everybody is in the same boat, and some people are suffering a lot more than other people. Take all of the help you can get. I know I've had a couple of conversations with people where they feel like they don't want to take kind of benefits and be on the universal credit system and stuff like that. And I think now is not the time to have any pride for stuff like that. Like, if you've got to feed yourself or your family and pay your bills, then just take whatever you can get. And it's worth the agonizing, intrusive application forms and the horrendous hold music. I just generally put my phone on speakerphone in the morning and leave it on hold just for as long as it takes, and kind of, you know, when you kind of almost get accepting of the terrible hold music,
yeah,
you just started kind of bonding with it. That's how I get another thing, and I will just mention this, and I don't know if it's relevant to anybody, but there's kind of this big myth about insurance companies and people getting insurance claims, and like, now bars and clubs are closed, they can claim on their insurance. That's a bit of a myth at the moment, because there are very few insurance policies that have covered this. Business continuity, that's not a word, you can figure out whatever that word is and put it there.
Continuity?
That's the word. That insurance doesn't cover this. I have it myself for our business. It does. It is absolutely useless. every kind of cover has pandemics or anything like that already written out.
Right.
So I think unless you've specifically got insurance for this sort of thing, so I think like festivals maybe might be covered, where they have really concise insurance policies where they're booking massive acts and whatever.
Yeah, I think I think a lot of the festivals, funnily enough, are not covered by this.
Right.
So
So it's a bit of a myth. There aren't really any people kind of, and also I when I spoke to our insurance broker, he basically said they would go broke if they had to pay out.
Yeah, of course.
So they're not really looking to help pay out when they don't have to. And in terms of other things, like if people have got tickets and stuff booked, I'm mostly with stuff that I've booked personally, I'm getting told that I can rebook it. And then if you really don't want to and you want to push, I've just said actually I can't with a certain few things where I don't want to. Everybody's in this together. If I can wait and not have to need the money back and can take, I will do that. But there's certain things, like I had some things booked for a hen party. Well, the wedding's now been cancelled, so the hen party's been cancelled. I don't know when. So I need that money back, really, because there's no point having a credit on account.
Of course.
And even though they're not offering it automatically, if you say, actually, I need a refund, most people are going, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll refund you.
Yeah.
So don't kind of be put off if you're getting emails that aren't immediately offering it. If you need that money back, then I think you can have it. And another thing, you can always do it through your credit card if you've booked it on a credit card.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Holidays and flights and stuff as well, you can reclaim.
Yeah, holidays and flights. Yeah, they have your credit card company will fight your corner and refund you in certain situations as well. So they're just general good things to know.
Perfect. Amazing. Chloe, it's been a pleasure. You've dropped so many gems today. It's been very, very insightful and incredibly helpful. So, yeah, I really appreciate that.
No problem.
Is there anything to plug? When's your mixtape dropping? When's your album coming out? What's your socials?
I mean, you can follow me on Instagram. No, I wouldn't follow me on any social media. I'm intolerable. It's mostly pictures of my mom, who is far funnier than I am. So I wouldn't bother with any of that.
Amazing. Do you take DJs on? I feel like there's going to be a bunch of DJs after an accountant, and you're the lady.
I don't tend to do people. I mean, maybe after this is all done, I'll rethink and start doing kind of personal things. But at the moment, I'm not. I'm just, any advice I can give to anybody is completely free of charge. I'm not trying to make a career or a living out of anybody else's misery. That's not
You're an absolute star. And it's worth actually mentioning, obviously, like, there's a WhatsApp group with lots of DJs in, and you've been an incredible help firing documents in, breaking down the jargon and really simplifying things for us simple DJ folks. So, yeah, it is much appreciated. All the stuff you're doing. But yeah, I really appreciate all the advice and knowledge and all the breakdowns you've given us today. It's amazing.
No problem at all. Like I say, in that WhatsApp group, I've now learnt more about audio cables than I'll ever need to know in my life.
And now you know how to do live streams. Every time you need to do a tax return, you can do tax return.
I was thinking about this.
Live
I was like, maybe streams. I can do a step-by-step tax return on a live stream and see how many watches that gets.
No, but seriously, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the pod, Clark. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks, Chloe.
Everybody.
So that was my conversation I had with the wonderful chartered accountant / DJ advisor Chloe. I hope you guys found that helpful. So we're gonna be back again, of course, with more episodes of the Pod Clark, me and Stylus. Don't forget, follow us at Talkover Pod on Twitter, Talkover Pod on Instagram as well. And yeah, tell a friend to tell a friend, especially about this episode. If you know anybody, not just DJs, but anybody self-employed that's currently out of work, send them this episode. And yeah, hopefully they can gain some knowledge from it and we can all basically survive the apocalypse. Yeah, my name is DJ Double. Shouts to Stylus, who has joined me, of course, for the intro. And a massive thank you to Chloe. # TalkOverPodClart. You know what it is. For the DJs, by the DJs, and the rest of us self-employed fucking bums that haven't got jobs anymore. Yeah, until next time, see ya.